This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The jury in the above entitled matter as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty. We, the jury in the above entitled matter as to count two, third degree murder perpetrating an eminently dangerous act, find the defendant guilty. We, the jury in the above entitled matter as to count three, second degree manslaughter, culpable negligence, creating an unreasonable risk, find the defendant guilty.
Guilty on all three counts, Derek Chauvin, the ex-Minneapolis police officer for the death of George Floyd. The world reacting to this. You just heard the verdict there, how it sounded as Derek Chauvin sat cold-faced looking forward. So the former Minneapolis police officer convicted of murder in the death of Floyd, like I said, Chauvin, who is white, was seen on video pinning George Floyd, a black man, to the ground for over 9 minutes after police responded to a report that Floyd used a counterfeit $20, and this is where we all ended up. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney broadcasting from Florida, and people are talking about this everywhere, including the Sunshine State. So lots of reaction. Like I said, Derek Chauvin led away in handcuffs, after the guilty verdict. 8 weeks from now, he'll be sentenced. So guilty of murdering George Floyd. And like I said, coming up on this show, we'll hear some reaction. We're going to hear some reaction from his brother. We're going to hear some reaction from the Vice President, Kamala Harris. And, of course, in our next hour from you, we're going to hear some reaction. Just incredible, the amounts of email that I got. So we're going to go to our mailbag. We'll do that again in the next hour. But first, let's talk about this. Let's talk about what happened. I described the courtroom and what that was like. I mean, certainly outside of the courthouse, there were cheers and tears and, you know, everything that you can imagine. And what they call now George Floyd Square, same thing. When the verdict was read, there were people hugging each other, high-fiving each other. And by the way, from everything that I could see, there were people of all ethnic backgrounds, white people, brown people, black people, etc., high-fiving each other. And that's important because that's part of what was being said today, both by Republican and by Democratic lawmakers, by the way. So the verdict comes almost a year after that video of Floyd went viral. You think of the importance of smartphones and the fact that a 17-year-old happened to get all of that on tape. So bystanders changed the story of Floyd's death. And the jury finding the former cop guilty of second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter sends a message about police violence. And this, again, is something I think that will set a precedent, perhaps, for future potential police cases if something similar happens. Jurors found him guilty on all three. And what one of the things that we heard was Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison, whose office oversaw Chauvin's prosecution, praised the bouquet of humanity. That's what they said, or he said. They tried to intervene at the scene on May 25th and record Floyd's final moments, providing much of the evidence for the state's case. And that was, as I mentioned, the whole crux of this. The people who didn't know George Floyd, they didn't know he had a family. They didn't know anything about him. They didn't know he was a father or had people in his life who loved him and felt for the things he was struggling with. That's what Ellison said after the verdict. They stopped. They raised their voices because they knew what they were seeing was wrong. They didn't need to be medical or use of force experts. They knew it was wrong, and they were right. And again, that, not to convolute it, but that's what Keith Ellison said about the verdict. After the verdict was read, Chauvin before had been free on bail, and now he faces up to 40 years in prison when he's sentenced, as I mentioned, 8 weeks. 8 weeks. Much of downtown Minneapolis at a standstill ahead of the reading of the verdict. Hundreds of office workers filed out of the area. They were replaced by throngs of people, really, who gathered outside the county government center where the trial was held. Inside the courthouse, Chauvin, dressed in the gray suit, wearing a blue surgical mask, was just pretty stoic, as he had been really throughout the entire process. And you had, as you heard there at the top, the district judge, Peter Cahill, announcing each verdict of guilty. And then at the end, of course, they polled the jurors one by one to affirm their individual decisions. And, somebody said of this, for many, the trial was more than Chauvin's guilt or innocence. It was a barometer of the racial change in a country where Floyd's death sparked what many have described as a new civil rights movement. Some viewed the Chauvin trial, many of you who sent me emails, the highest profile brutality case since the 1991 beating of Rodney King in L.A. I lived in California when that happened, and let me tell you, California was a powder keg, not just Los Angeles. So is this a referendum on what justice means in a country where in the past you didn't see this with police officers that have been acquitted or uncharged in the deaths of many Black Americans and other people of color? And as I mentioned, the crowds had lots of white people in them, lots of flavors of ethnic backgrounds, if you will. I saw that in crowds everywhere where I looked from my vantage point in Florida. Nearly all the jurors said during jury selection they had seen the still image or a video clip of Chauvin kneeling on Floyd, hands at his waist and sunglasses sitting undisturbed on top of his head. Several said they had not watched the viral Facebook video in its entirety or any other footage, if you remember. And I think the video, the people reacting, what they did, is again such a key point in this case, such a key point. You know, Jerry Blackwell, the prosecutor, said, "Believe your eyes." That's what he told the jury of the video from the beginning of the state's case until the end. He said, "It's murder. It's murder." So while the Chauvin verdict had cities nationwide bracing for unrest, instead, you know what they got? A celebration. And let me tell you, this cuts across political ideologies, because you had Republicans, you had Democrats, you had independents, whatever label you wear, people saying, you know what, this was right. This was the right verdict. Based on everything that we saw, this was right. You may have some thoughts on it. You might not have had a chance to email. You can shoot them to me, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Again, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Most of what we're going to talk about in this show is going to focus on Chauvin and the reaction to his guilty verdict and, you know, what does it mean moving forward. So stay with us. Coming up next, we hear from Terrence Floyd about justice that he thought was served with this verdict.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world. world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
We got the verdict we wanted.
Amen. Amen.
We got on our knees. Some of us stood up. But we asked the right person. We asked the right one.
Yes.
Come on, God.
We said, God, we need justice.
Yeah.
We need it now. And he answered.
Yeah.
Good job. Oh, man. I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that my grandmother, my mother, my aunts, they just got to see this history made.
All right, that was the reaction of Terrence Floyd talking about the verdict that was read for Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of murder and manslaughter for pinning George Floyd to the pavement with his knee on the black man's neck until he died last May. And as you can imagine, the crowd was emotional. The family was emotional. Terrence Floyd remembering his brother and reacting there. And, you know, he pretty much said it's been 11 months and he's heard from people around the world telling him we won't be able to breathe until you're able to breathe. And he's saying this is, you know, this is that moment. And Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison said we need to use this verdict as an inflection point. And he said that shortly after the verdict was read in court. And at a news conference, Ellison read off the names of others killed in encounters with police, saying this has to end. We need true justice. That's not one case. That's social transformation that says no one is beneath the law and no one else is above it. So in the end, Judge, as I'll reiterate some things here, if you're just tuning in, Kate Delaney broadcasting from Florida, a very big day, an emotional day, and all kinds of reaction around the world, as Floyd's brother said. So Judge Peter Cahill also revoked Chauvin's bail, said he was taken out of the courtroom in handcuffs, placed in the custody of the county sheriff. He could get 40 years in
in prison. And, of course, I believe there will be an appeal based on maybe media coverage and some reaction before the verdict. And, you know, this jury wasn't sequestered. How successful will be with it, who knows. But, again, 8 weeks is the sentencing for Derek Chauvin. Coming up, you're going to hear what Kamala Harris, the vice president, had to say about the verdict here and what it means, and talking about the future and what the country has to do to confront hatred and change hearts and minds and, you know, all that in between. So we'll let you hear that in the beginning of next hour. You'll hear what the president had to say, and, you know, liberty and justice for all. I mean, that seems to ring true from everybody's comments, including Ben Crump, an attorney who represents the Floyd family. He posted a video to Twitter after the verdict was read and said, "Let us all rejoice for this moment, but know that we still have work to do." Crump also posted a video of the Biden and Harris presser that I'm going to let you hear coming up, calling Floyd's family after the verdict. And you know, this is a moment in time. It's one of those moments in time. Is this a turning point for a lot of people or not? You know, anything. It's interesting because the nation was gearing up for the potential of cities exploding, which, you know, that the whole world is watching this. And what so many have said in watching that video is there has to be justice, and there has to be justice for George Floyd. P.J. Hill, vice president of the Minneapolis NAACP, said he felt liberated by the verdict. What we witnessed was a slow 9-minute murder of a man. I think it cuts across ideologies politically, probably not for some, but there were many Republicans who reacted saying, yeah, this was a just verdict. This was justice in the Floyd case. This was justice. That the jury did the right thing. I mean, it's, you know, it was it a watershed moment for the United States? Do you think it was a watershed moment for the United States? You can always send me your thoughts 24/7. You know that. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. Like I said, coming up, you'll hear what the vice president had to say. There were definitely people across the U.S. that were cheering this verdict. I mean, all over the U.S., certainly in Minneapolis, we saw that, but in other cities as well, communities were gearing up for what the verdict was going to be. And no matter what happened in the courtroom, one of the things that they said in the area where George Floyd was killed, they call it Floyd Square now. Before the verdict came in, they said no matter what happened in the courtroom, that people would continue to hold the square until all the officers are convicted. You know, there are three others that are going on trial in August for being complicit, basically, simplistically I'm saying it, and we'll see where that goes. But there were a lot of people that felt and were chanting, you know, Floyd's name, and that justice was served. I say this show is always about what the buzz is in your backyard and mine, and there are certainly a myriad of other things happening in the country, some of them sad. There was a shooting at a grocery store in New York on Long Island. There were some other things that have happened that we could talk about, but this is the conversation. It's the fatigue some people are feeling, and some see this verdict as the start of justice, as the start of racial justice, as the start of Americans being Americans and realizing all shapes, sizes, colors, etc. And does it really start here with Derek Chauvin being found guilty of murder? An ex-police officer who was caught on video that went viral where he had Floyd pinned for the 9-plus minutes. And what does it mean for police officers? What does it mean for police policies? How do cities look at this? How are cities looking at this and dealing with communities? During the 42-day trial, jurors heard from 45 witnesses, listened to hours of technical testimony about whether Chauvin, who pinned Floyd to the ground under his knee for 9.5 minutes, actually caused his death. In the end, the jurors unanimously agreed he did. They convicted Chauvin on all three counts, second and third degree murder and second degree manslaughter. But what about the criminal justice system overall? What does that mean? What does the verdict say when you have such an egregious act that shocks the conscience of so many that are usually oblivious and unconcerned? And I think a lot of people of different, who are white, who are different ethnic backgrounds, really saw something when they saw that videos. When they saw that video. And Chauvin faces a recommended 12 and a half years in prison under sentencing guidelines for the first-time offenders, but the prosecution wants a longer sentence, up to 30 years, due to aggravating factors. The decision is up to Judge Cahill, because the jurors concluded already, like I've said now several times, that Chauvin had intentionally committed third-degree assault on Floyd when he pinned him to the ground, handcuffed, and pressed his knee into his neck. They concluded the assault resulted in Floyd's murder, even though Chauvin might not have meant to kill him. So, this is the beginning of something, that's for sure. But in police terms, looking at the use of force, looking at other factors, I think, too, in encountering people in different situations, and it's those split second decisions that police officers have to make. And I'm wondering, and I in fact I know the answer to this. I know that there are lots of discussions on training that have always happened, but are really happening now, specifically because of use of force and what's being taught at academies and etc. And I think that will be looked at and across the board, big, small, large communities. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, the Vice President's reaction.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of murder in the death of George Floyd.
We, the jury, in the above entitled matter, as to count one, unintentional second degree murder while committing a felony, find the defendant guilty.
He was also found guilty of third degree murder and second degree manslaughter. Chauvin will be sentenced at a later date. And the State Department has updated its list of travel advisories, it says, to realign its recommendations with those of the CDC. Nearly 80% of the world's countries have been moved to a level 4 status, a do-not-travel recommendation due to the continued COVID pandemic. The agency says that travel still poses risks to American travelers, recommending that all citizens reconsider traveling abroad. This is USA Radio News. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin was found guilty Tuesday of 3 counts of murder and manslaughter in the May 2020 death of George Floyd. Chauvin will be sentenced at a future date, expected in about 8 weeks. Addressing the nation after the verdict was rendered, Vice President Kamala Harris encouraged Congress to pass a police reform bill that has already passed through the House.
This verdict brings us a step closer, and the fact is, we still have work to do. We still must reform the system. Last summer, together with Senator Cory Booker and Representative Karen Bass, I introduced the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. This bill would hold law enforcement accountable and help build trust between law enforcement and our communities.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Howdy folks, Pharmacist Ben here, nutritional pharmacist and skincare chemist. If you've heard me on my daily health and wellness program, The Bright Side, you know I'm on a mission to spread the good news about the power of nutritional supplementation to correct your healthcare challenges and get you feeling vital and healthy once again. I want you to call 877-279-9422 and check out the powerful, affordable line of nutritional products from Youngevity, the ones I take and the ones I recommend. That's 877-279-9422 or go to www.gcnminerals.com. Why simply mask your symptoms with toxic pharmaceutical drugs when you can address causes with vitamins and minerals? I suggest the Healthy Start Pack. It gives your body the essential 90 nutrients it needs. Most people notice a difference right away. You can sign up to help me spread the good news of health and wellness without drugs and maybe make a little money too. And while you're there, don't forget to check out my important video message. That's GCNminerals.com or call 877-279-9422. And remember, friends, good nutrition is good medicine.
Feel a sigh of relief. Still, it cannot take away the pain. A measure of justice isn't the same as equal justice. America has a long history of systemic racism. Black Americans, and black men in particular, have been treated throughout the course of our history as less than human. Black men are fathers and brothers and sons, and uncles, and grandfathers, and friends, and neighbors. Their lives must be valued in our education system, in our healthcare system, in our housing system, in our economic system, in our criminal justice system.
That's Vice President Kamala Harris's reaction to the Derek Chauvin verdict. Guilty on all three counts, all three charges, I shouldn't say counts, all three charges in the death of George Floyd. So the ex-Minnesota cop in Minneapolis was led from the courthouse in cuffs. And here's what happened specifically. The verdict was read, and it was delivered just shy of 1 year after Floyd's death on May 25th, 2020, comes amid another increase in, I would say, some racial tension nationally, but especially locally. Members of the National Guard and Minneapolis police team were the apparent targets in a drive-by shooting Sunday morning that injured two Guard members. That's just absolutely intolerable. Chauvin's bail, of course, was revoked. He was remanded to custody until sentencing occurs. That's supposed to happen, according to Judge Peter Cahill, in about 8 weeks. He could get a grand total of maybe 40 years all together. And prosecutors set up that Chauvin, apart from other police officers, was there grinding his knee, twisting his knees into the neck of George Floyd, and the damaging viral video that showed what was happening, and one of the things that was talked about is human. One of the things Eric Nelson, Chauvin's attorney, the defense attorney, said is his client acted as a reasonable police officer, using the term dozens of times during his closing argument on Monday. He argued that George Floyd died as a result of a heart attack caused by ingesting fatal levels of fentanyl and meth and chronic coronary disease. That wasn't anything that the jury decided was credible or evidence that they believed was the reason why. You know, Nelson said, I remember at one point saying, human behavior is unpredictable and no one knows it better than a police officer. True. But in this case, the neck, the 9 minutes, the video, watching what happened with Floyd, just awful. So two prosecution witnesses gave conflicting testimony about the cause of death. Remember the Chicago pulmonologist, Martin Tobin, he said that a low level of oxygen damaged George Floyd's brain, which caused his heart to stop. Chauvin, and that they didn't buy that. Chauvin was charged with second-degree murder, second-degree manslaughter, both of which statutorily required some level of intent, whether it be intent to harm, as in the case of the murder charge, or in a conscious taking of risk resulting in severe injury or death, as is needed for manslaughter. So, again, to re-rack the arguments for a second, Nelson stressed the number of cameras recording Chauvin's every action, from the cameras worn by himself and three other officers at the scene to the numerous cell phone videos shot by onlookers, to hammer home that Chauvin was aware he's being watched and wouldn't have taken any actions inconsistent with how he was trained. But fellow police officers disagreed one by one, including the chief. And I think that really sealed the deal for this jury and their decision-making with the evidence. Member Chauvin also was charged with third-degree murder, which only requires the jury to find Chauvin's actions were eminently dangerous and were undertaken with indifference to human life. So all three he was convicted of. And a Minneapolis, all started almost a year ago, a Minneapolis convenience store calling the cops on George Floyd on May 25th after he was suspected of using a counterfeit bill to pay for a purchase in a store. Footage shot by a bystander showing Floyd's restraint and eventual death quickly went viral and ignited outrage from Black Lives Matter supporters, who immediately called for the four officers seen in the video to be arrested. And the four officers present when Floyd died all were fired the day after the incident. And remember, you've got three that will be tried in August, so now it makes you wonder what will happen there. But for now, just in dealing with this and the chaos that ensued and what took place before and now what has happened. Reaction to this has been far and wide, from not just in the United States but from other parts of the world as well. In the sports world, because we haven't been in the man cave for a while, but we're going into the man cave for a second as we dip in, there was reaction to this. The NBA and the League's Players Association issued a joint statement. George Floyd's murder was a flashpoint for how we look at race and justice in our country, and we're pleased that justice appears to have been served. But we also recognize that there is much work to be done, and the National Basketball Association and the NBA Players Association, together with our newly formed Social Justice Coalition, because as a result of some of this, that's what they did, will redouble our efforts to advocate for meaningful change in the arenas of criminal justice and policing. The Minnesota Timberwolves And the Lynx had been at the forefront of early public action in Floyd's death as well. So on Tuesday, they issued a joint statement, being right there in the state of Minnesota, saying, "We are hopeful that today's decision will serve as a step forward, but it does not ease the physical and emotional pain that continues in an environment where systemic racism exists," echoing the words of Kamala Harris, the vice president, who you heard at the top of this. The Timberwolves and Lynx remain committed to influencing change, promoting impactful action, and using our platform to help heal and unite in the pursuit of liberty and justice for all. Ooh, those words are good. Liberty and justice for all. Tennis star Naomi Osaka said she refrained from celebrating, tweeting, "I was going to make a celebratory tweet, but then I was hit with sadness because we're celebrating something that is clear as day, the fact that so many injustices occur to make us hold our breath toward this outcome is really telling." How about this from Bubba Wallace, NASCAR driver? "Justice served on all counts. Good. Still a ton of work to do. Continue to rest peacefully. Hashtag George Floyd." That sums it up. Not everybody agreed with the verdict, although there were a lot of Republicans who did agree with the verdict. I happened to catch on a clip on Newsmax of Alan Dershowitz, who said the Chauvin guilty verdict is a product of jury fear, not due process. So the legal scholar said he was doubtful that the Derek Chauvin guilty verdict was due process and the rule of law. Instead, he pronounced the verdict the result of outside influences. And he said, "I have no real confidence that this verdict, which may be correct in some ways," he did say it may be correct in some ways, "but I have no confidence that this verdict was produced by due process and the rule of law." And again, I'll reiterate this, he said on Spicer and Company, "rather than the influence of the crowd, the outside influences of Al Sharpton." He said it was like the sword of Damocles hanging over the jury, and that they were basically saying indirectly to the jury, "If you don't convict on the murder charge and all the charges, the cities will burn, the country will be destroyed." Remember, prior to Tuesday's guilty verdict in the Chauvin case, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Democrat from California, said at a demonstration in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, "If nothing does happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice." She added, "We've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that we know, that they know, that we mean business." That was reported in the Los Angeles Times. And at a press conference in Minneapolis on Monday, the Reverend Al Sharpton, a civil rights figure who has been pretty vocal, said America is on trial. So Dershowitz said on Tuesday, "Threats and intimidation seeped into the jury room, and the judge made a terrible mistake by not sequestering the jury." So the judge himself said that this case may be reversed on appeal. Jurors must have feared for their lives while deliberating on the verdict. And again, he was on Spicer and Company on Newsmax, so a different take on the verdict. And by the way, there already has been discussion about an appeal. 8 weeks, the verdict is rendered, and the sentencing is rendered. So there is a case, or there has been discussion about appeal based on some of the things that were said by the congresswoman, for one, and even the president. Where that goes, I don't know, because this was such a big step. But the Democrats already voted not to censure Maxine Waters for the Chauvin protest comments, so that's where that hangs. But as to this case and an appeal, I would think they might exhaust all possibilities. So Chauvin is likely to appeal. Stay with us. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to talk about an interesting book. Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING.com.
To New Zealand right now for a conversation with Leanne Rattray. She's written a book. She's pulled a lot of her thoughts and poetry, and it's really good, called Who the Fork is Alice. The title alone is worth the price of admission, and for good reason, because of some of the things that she told me off the air. So, Leanne, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, hey, darling. It's nice to be here.
What was it that drew you to poetry? I mean, you've been at poetry slams in Auckland and all kinds of things. I mean, people look to you for that, I think.
Well, they call me Auckland's poetry princess. And I quit my job when I turned 50, when I wrote my book. I was I'm into anthropology and I'm an accountant. And I worked at the Museum and Art Gallery. I quit my job to move to Auckland to be a freelance poet. So that's a story.
And so how's that? What's that been like?
Ah, well, like an adventure. I mean, the whole thing is like, who the fork is Alice? Go ask Alice. Alice could be anybody. She's curious. She wants to go down that rabbit hole. She wants to meet the Mad Hatter. She wants to sit at the table with the rabbit and eat strange foods and get big and small and like it's all about adventure. It's about taking that risk in life and having an imagination and being passionate about what you believe in and caring about people and caring about the world.
Oh, I love that. Caring about people and caring about the world. So for you, it's an adventure and it's fun and you're gifted and
it's got to be really wild to be inside your head and think of all the ways that you're inspired. And you're inspired by different things, right?
Yes, yes. I'm inspired by, like, I went to Australia and I went to, you know, climate. I've always been an environmentalist, so greeny, totally greeny, recycle everything. And I love animals and want to save the world, save the planet. I believe in aliens. Like my son is studying anthropology and I worked in the museum. I think that as people, we need to get back to our hearts and our imaginations and care more about each other.
Yeah. Do you think poetry does that? That connects us?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think, like, you know, I call myself a verbologist. Like, you know, I was one of these kids that used to, like, be, like, in bed with my torch reading a book when I was supposed to be asleep. And imagination rife. Like the first poem in my book is all about, it's called Visitations of a Child, because I think we all need to discover that child within us. That's what keeps us moving forward, even as we grow older, is we, if we have that inner child and that imagination. Yeah, so.
What do you hope people take away from reading your poetry and this book, Who the Fork is Alice, which with Leanne Rattray, we're speaking with her, you can get it on Amazon.
To have belief, self-belief, and try to be the best possible person you can be, and be yourself, be unique. My DNA belongs to me, your DNA belongs to you. We all come from the same DNA at the end of the day. Like, but we have to, like, believe in each other. Otherwise, what's the point in the world? There's too much war, there's too much, I mean, COVID, for God's sake, you know? I wrote a poem about Donald Trump. It's a really short one.
Let's hear it. Yeah. Here she is, all the way from New Zealand, as people are listening across the globe and here in the United States. And, of course, with Donald Trump, he has fans and he has those who are not his fans. He's polarizing.
This is really short. This is really short. It's called The Grim Reaper. Empty buses trundling by. I watch from my balcony and sigh. Empty shops, empty roads. Eerily apocalyptic. A war zone. No bombs dropping from the sky. 'Tis a silent creeper, this grim reaper, wearing the mask of a clown. A tissue, a tissue. We all fall down.
Oh, what a sense of humor, too. So wickedly weave that into your poem. You wrote another one that I thought was really good that you did for me before we came on the air, Made in Japan.
Oh, yeah.
I think people would like that, too, as well, because you said you're a verbologist, which I love that word that you coined. You made up a great word. And Made in Japan makes you think of a lot of different things.
Right, yeah, just because I'm one of these old-fashioned people. I actually write in a book or
exactly.
On pieces of paper. Oh, here we go. And it's MAIDE, as in M-A-I-D. So it's like a cross-play. Made in Japan. She is a number. She does a number. She wants a number. She wants your number. She drifts endlessly, lost in a pirouette, private ballerina, toes spinning, arms poised, perfect precision, dancing diva. Mermaid, lost in another realm, tall tales told, souls traded for stamps. Searching for feet to walk on fresh sand. Bare feet on black sand. Toes curl as fronds unfurl above. Sweet basil scents invoke the senses. Am ready for love. Black bows on ankles, fishnets cast wide. Straight line from earth to universe, no more black and white. Shooting stars, Venus and Mars. Surreptitiously seeking sublime oblivion. Slipping, stripping bare, drawn to the rim of the rabbit hole. Free falling. Jerseys unravel. Cross stitches, white witches travel on brooms above. Sprinkling dust for love. Black roses bloom, really, like my black heart. Broken promises. Perfect geisha. Made in Japan.
Wow, nice. Those words are so, so interesting. And since I've seen geishas, I can picture what you've done there and how you've gone back and forth, which is so interesting the way you weave your words. What do your mates say? What do your friends say about your poems?
Well, people come up and ask me to do, I do poetry every week. That's why I moved from Gisborne. I'm a Gizzy girl. And I had a house down there, and I moved from there, and I rented my house out, and I've just sold it, and I bought an apartment in Auckland. I moved to Auckland because Auckland is the poetry hub. And, like, you know, there are so many amazing Kiwi poets and comedians. And so I started coming to Poetry Live, which has been going for 40 years. And I go there every Tuesday night, and they have a guest poet, and they have a guest musician, and they have open mic. And that is what has fostered my complete love of poetry even further. You know, it's like open mic, getting up on stage. I love to perform. You know, I love getting dressed up. I put my hat on. You know, it's like the cat in the hat.
And you do your poetry.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want people to take away from my poetry an understanding of who they are or their emotions or what's going on in the world, but in an entertaining way. I want to make people think. But I also want to, I don't want to be boring. My poems are mostly short, like I write, like, a lot of short poems. My book, you know, it's like little short poems all strung together to tell a little story that maybe you might get something out of, you know, about love, about, I've got a poem in there, it's called Dumb Seduction, it's about online dating. You know, you write poems about all sorts, don't we?
Absolutely. And that's why this is such a unique book, and you're such a unique character and wonderful person that is giving, giving, giving. And you can tell that just by reading even just a few lines of your poems and then hearing you recite them. Leanne Rattray, what a delight to meet you in New Zealand. You are a gift to New Zealand and the world. And Who the Fork Is Alice is the name of it. Is the name of it. And you get it on Amazon. So thanks for joining us. And thanks to all
of you.
Thanks to all of you for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.